Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is a new format that I am trying out, and my 7-year-old daughter helped me name it. We're going to call it Just Jammin' with Jamie. I love alliterations, and I had to do something with my name. So these are going to be short little episodes that allow me to share sort of tidbits that come up related to the industry and being a co-working space owner that don't quite fit the format of an interview podcast or one of my longer form podcasts. So we're going to dive right in. This one is related to learnings from CrossFit. And many of you know I'm kind of obsessed with CrossFit, partly because I think it's so similar in spirit to co-working in that it is about the workout and it's not about the workout. It's about the people and the journey and finding your tribe and having support and having accountability and all the great things that go along with a strong community. So this happens to be the time of year of the CrossFit Open, which is 5 weeks of a worldwide competition. It used to be that this competition was the only way to get to the CrossFit Games, which is sort of like the Olympics for CrossFit. And that has changed, partly because they want to make CrossFit more accessible to people and partly for budget reasons. But they still do this 5-week competition. Any CrossFit gym or box, as they call it, around the world can support the competition and their members can participate. You have to register to participate. And oftentimes the CrossFit boxes will kind of make a big deal out of it. And on Friday nights, they'll do this event called Friday Night Lights. And anybody who wants to come can do the workout. And they, you know, make a big event out of it. Our gym gets a DJ, which is super fun. I think one of the owners must have a friend who's a DJ who comes. I love it. It's like a party on Friday nights, you know, and you have to be qualified to judge. You have to go through a training program. So it's a little bit serious. And some people take it really, really seriously. I would be in the camp of taking it pretty seriously. And part of that, you know, is ego. And I'm struggling with that a little bit this year because I have a lot of conflicting priorities. I'm trying to launch the co-working startup school, which we've been talking about, which takes a lot of focus time. I wear a lot of different hats from a work perspective, and I'm trying to be a good parent and a good family member and continue to get my workouts in. But the CrossFit Open can suck up a lot of attention and energy and physical requirements if you do the workout more than once. So I'm struggling with trying to, my mantra this year in front of the Open was, you know, the leaderboard does not define me. I think that's the other interesting piece about this particular event is that there's a worldwide leaderboard. So at any point you can go into the app and you can see where you place worldwide among, you know, your gender, worldwide in your gender and age group. And you can probably get more granular than that. So I will admit to years past being maybe a tiny bit focused on the leaderboard and where I place. Part of it was when I started, it was so interesting. I'd never, you know, been a part of anything like that and sort of to see where do I fit in the overall picture. And then I started training. I follow a competitive CrossFit program online, which also has a leaderboard, which I think it's healthy if you're going to compete to get used to a leaderboard. Because every workout feels a teeny bit like a competition, which mentally takes a lot to get used to, but it can also be a little bit distracting. So over time, of course, my goal has been to get better. And to go to the CrossFit Games, you have to place in the top 200 in the world, which I don't come very close to, but I do usually place in the top 5% of my age group in the world, and 400,000 people sign up to do this thing. So anyway, my point about talking about CrossFit and setting a little context here is that it's open season and I take the workouts fairly seriously and I'm trying to work on my response to the workouts and whether I do well or not do well. And I think this carries over nicely to business. And I think some of it comes with age, some of it comes with experience, right? So the programming that I do that's online is by a coach named Ben Bergeron, and he is outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And he's a former CrossFit, well, he's still a CrossFit athlete, he's a former games athlete, and he coaches some of the best athletes, and he has this online program. And one of the differentiators of his program is he also has a master's version, which makes me sound really old, but it is age appropriate, which is really nice because, you know, you have different training needs as you get older and different recovery needs. And so the volume and the intensity is designed appropriately. But anyway, he's super focused on mindset, which I love. So he's very focused on great programming, but talks a lot about mindset, which I think is also important in business, right? We can know what to do, but if there are days where we just let our mindset totally run us over, then it sometimes doesn't matter if we know what to do, or it doesn't matter if we don't know what to do. If our mindset gets in the way, then we can't move forward and we get stuck and we don't enjoy the journey. So I love following him. He's a great book about leadership and mindset. And I try to carry some of his principles into my life. And again, I think some of this is just in CrossFit, we have this term called time under tension, which basically just means like experience, right? Like just living through things enough times, you get better at them and you get better at receiving, you know, good experiences, bad experiences. And another great quote that he has is, he says, we either win or we learn. He doesn't talk about winning or losing. We either win or we learn something. So I think that's also a great motto in business. And especially for those of you starting out, this can be super, super important to remember because you're going to learn a lot of hard lessons, which I'm trying to help you get in front of some of those. But, you know, everybody's unique and living a unique experience and a unique personal situation. But if you can have that perspective, it helps. And we never stop learning, right? We never stop doing things that don't go quite the way we want them to and trying to learn from them. So I thought I would share a story that happened to me in my workout this past week and sort of, you know, just carry it over to business a little bit. So the workout last week, they number the workouts for the 5 weeks. 19.1 was last week because it's 2019. And last week's workout was 19 wall balls, which is basically a squat and you throw a wall ball up to a 9 foot, I think for women, 10 feet for men target. And the wall ball for women is 14 pounds. And then you do 19 calories on a rower, like an erg that they use for crew training. And you get 15 minutes to do as many rounds of that as you can. And they basically talked about that workout as sort of like, you just have to go into the pain cave. You know, you sort of have to pace yourself a little bit so you don't redline. But 15 minutes is a long time to kind of go all out. So again, context is I am trying to be respectful of all the things I have going on and not put so much weight into the open, but historically has been kind of a big deal. And I have my CrossFit best friend is Christine, and she also cares a lot about the open. So we were in Tahoe for the first week because it was winter break, and we have a place in Tahoe for the winter because we love to ski. So we're up there for the week. And mind you, the elevation, while not the highest, still, I think, 6,000 feet, 6,500 feet, which is a huge difference from where I usually work out, which is at pretty much at sea level. So we did the workout there Friday morning. They announced the workouts Thursday night. And then Monday's the last day you can do them to submit a score. And generally, if you super, super care about the workout, you do the workout twice, Friday night, and then you'll do it again on Monday. So we did the workout on Friday by ourselves at the box on the way to the ski mountain, and we did it at elevation, and it was pretty horrible. It was, I mean, I felt like I was going to lose my breakfast. It was really hard. I think the thin air was difficult to work through. So I had a score. I knew it wasn't going to be great because it was at elevation. And I went into Monday thinking Monday really matters because I need a better score because I know that was not my best score. So Monday comes, Christine and I go to the box to do the workout. Again, we're by ourselves because we've missed all the Friday Night Light organization when everybody gets together to redo the workout. And most people will do the workout on Sunday if they want to redo it at the gym. So, although some workouts require more recovery time, this one was not so horrible because there was no barbell involved. So Monday we go and I go first and I do my warm up, get the rower, got the wall ball. I'm feeling so much better than at elevation, like amazingly better. So I start the workout and I know, like, you know, I'm pacing really well. I'd done the math. I knew where I wanted to pace. I knew my rower had to be at a certain pace and I was on it. So we're going. And you get really in the zone when you do workouts like this for 15 minutes. Like, you need to just kind of get into a zone. I've got my earbud in and, you know, just one so that Christine can no rep me if I require no repping and or whatever other feedback, you know, I need to have during the workout. So at some point she makes this mention that the rower doesn't like us and I'm not really processing because I can't think about anything else except wall balls and rowing. And then, so I get back on the rower and I'm in, so my goal was to finish 7 rounds. I'm in the 4th round, I'm on the rower, it doesn't register my calories. So it takes me a while to like realize this thing is not starting. And it's so interesting to sort of reflect and go backwards, you know, reflect in hindsight around like, how does your brain work in a crisis moment? And no one was hurt, but like, this was a little bit of a crisis because it was an important time for me. And so I'm processing like this thing is not starting and I'm in the 4th round, which is a lot of work. Like, nobody wants to start over. You're not starting over because you've already done more than half of this workout. And there's no way your score is going to be great if you've done all this extra work versus, you know, all the other people who are doing this workout. So Christine's realizing, I'm realizing this rower is not working. It takes us, in hindsight, we looked at the clock, roughly 45 seconds to figure out what to do about this, which is, in a 15-minute workout, way too long. So she, her initial reaction was, we'll just do it based on time. And I knew that doesn't work. We can't do that because for the score to be legitimate, I need to count calories, not time. So I finally got another rower and got it set up and just, you know, I did all the calories again. And she kept telling me, like, don't do all the calories. You're doing too many calories. And I was like, well, I need the score to be legitimate. I'm doing all the calories again. So I knew I was doing too much work and she's sort of wrestling with this and I'm having to sort of block it out because I knew what, how I wanted to handle that workout. And I also know that I was on pace and now I'm not on pace anymore. You know, am I going to beat that score from Friday night? Because that was what I was here to do. You know, but I also, frankly, was not willing to do the workout again. And partly because, you know, as I said, like, I don't, it takes so much physical energy and recovery time and just mental space that I was like, I cannot come back to the gym tonight and do this. Like, don't have room in my schedule for that. So I finished it and I will tell, I should back up. I definitely dropped some inappropriate phrases when this was happening. I didn't totally freak out, but I, you know, I dropped an inappropriate word and then I, you know, got the new rower and got going. And at the end, I just said, well, you know, if we don't win, we learn. And what did I learn from that? And I learned, okay, you know, a rower can crap out in your workout. Have an extra rower if it really matters. You know, I've never thought of having backup equipment in a situation like that, but now I will. And if I had videoed it, then we could have figured out how much time I lost and managed that a little bit differently. But I didn't video it, which is also something people will do when they really care about their performance. So I really tried to stick to the whole, like, look, my score does not define me. I've made the decision. I'm not doing this workout again. So I have to stick with it. And my score was better. I did 20 more reps Monday morning than I did Friday at elevation. And then I had to live with the fact that I have that 45 seconds back. I would have kicked that workout out of the park. And so I have to, like, again, the ego comes back. And I know that on that leaderboard, nobody's going to know my rower failed. And they're going to think that's all I'm capable of. And I know better. So I have to live with the, I know better. It doesn't matter what's on the leaderboard this year. Not doing that workout again. So a couple of things that I love thinking about how this translates into work. I really feel I think everybody should work out. It makes them healthier. There's lots of data that says it makes you, you know, you live longer, your brain works better, you get to sleep well, you get to take care of yourselves, you're going to be a better entrepreneur. But I just think dealing with those obstacles and things that go wrong in a place where it matters, but it doesn't, right? So you learn mentally how to get over stuff when, you know, there's no money involved, there's no family member involved, there's no, like, the consequences are only in your head, unless you get injured, of course. But so a couple of lessons for me was, you know, I had a plan, like I had the math, I had my splits, I got my equipment lined up just right. Like I thought I was really well planned out. But there were two things I could have done better in that situation, which is have an extra rower in case the battery died on the display, so it wouldn't restart. So that can happen. The wall ball, nothing can happen with the wall ball. I don't need an extra wall ball, but the rower, you know, have an extra rower, and I could have videotaped it so I could have figured out how much time I lost. So we did have a clock on, but I didn't have a video. So I could reflect and say, okay, I had a really good plan, but there are some things I didn't think about. And then the second thing was, you know, what people see that isn't reflected. So people would see a score that is not the best that I can do. And just, again, sort of having that mindset of my open score does not define who I am. And it's okay if I don't look exactly how I want to look to the outside public. I know what I'm capable of. So, you know, a couple of ways I think this translates into business is when things go wrong, trying to... So the Ben Bergeron, the coach I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, he had this great Instagram post after that workout. And the caption on the screen was, what if the problem isn't the problem? What if the problem is our attitude about the problem? And I loved that because I had to say, like, look, the rower was a problem, but really the problem is going to be if I spend the whole day super pissed off about what happened to the rower. Like, I could have been throwing things and mad and grumpy and, you know, my score's crap. And now, you know, nobody's going to know how good I am at this workout because this workout was in my wheelhouse. Like, I should score really well on that workout. And I didn't score as well as I could have because the rower broke, which was mostly out of my control, except that I could have had a spare rower. So the rower is not the problem, right? The my attitude and how I handle it is what matters. So his little caption on the Instagram was, it seems like our responses to situations, not just the situations, play major roles in determining the story of our lives. We are the authors of our own stories. Let's try to write good endings to each chapter. So I love that because it reminds you that it's about your character and how you handle situations. It's not about the situation that happened that's out of your control. So going back to how does this transfer to being a business owner and running a co-working space? I mean, I think some of the things that stick out for me as being pretty painful over the years, especially as you're learning and starting and just experiencing these things for the first time. Like if you've worked for other people forever, you lose a client, it's somebody else's problem most of the time, right? And when you own your own business, you lose a big team, get a big hole in your revenue, one of your big offices leaves and you weren't prepared for that, and you don't have a backfill. Now you've got a big hole in your revenue for the month, maybe next month, who knows how long it's gonna take to fill that. And that can be painful to deal with. Losing several co-working members unexpectedly. You ever have a month where three or four people leave and you just didn't see it coming and could be totally out of your control? You know, if it's something you could have done better, that's one thing. But if people are leaving because they're moving, they took a job, they, you know, who knows, things happen all the time, right? But now these co-working members have left and you feel like you've got a big hole in your culture. The revenue piece, co-working memberships, hard to lose. They don't add up quite as fast as offices and they tend to refill, but still that hole of people that might have been really important to your space. Having an employee give notice and not seeing that coming, and then all the stress that goes with having to hire someone else, having to train someone else, and all the time that takes away from your ability to focus on the business. Having really stressful things happen, like the internet goes out or the internet is slow. air conditioning goes down. You've got members that are upset, getting a bad Google review for some reason that, you know, you can get some oddballs that come in that leave weird Google reviews and you're just like, where did that come from? What do I do about this? And these things can be hard. I remember losing a team when I first opened in Chicago and I had done what I thought was like everything to help be flexible to make the space work for them. And they left and it was heartbreaking and I was upset and I dwelled on it. I felt like it was my fault. I felt like I just was so negative about it and it was hard, you know, to recover from that. And it's hard, back to the ego, CrossFit ego and the leaderboard. It's embarrassing to go home and tell your family that you lost a member, that your revenue is down for a month. You know, what does that mean? Or to tell your investors, you know, or to tell your business partner. You feel so accountable for those things. But what matters is not the problem. It's your attitude about the problem. And what are you going to do about the problem? And if you are doing the right things in your business, then things that are out of your control will eventually right themselves. They just will. I've seen this from being in business for 7 years now. There are cycles. We had a bad January this year, and I was very, very tempted to stress about it, especially because I was spending more time in the space because we had to replace my community manager. So I was hiring and training. And when you're more, you know, involved in the day-to-day, you just feel that pain more because you're thinking about it all the time versus sort of month-end reviewing, you know, dashboards and trackers and financials. And I had to remind myself that these things happen. It's a cycle. We're doing all the things that we've always done. Of course, I take a look at the competition. You know, I do all the things to sort of gauge, like, what can we be doing? I talk to our Google AdWords person. I let her know, like, look, you know, we need more clicks. We need to get more people in. And February has been much better. In the beginning of March, well, we just started March, but the last couple of weeks have been, you know, back on track. But it's tempting to go to that place where you get super stressed and feel like the world's ending and this is never going to get better. But it will if you are doing the right things. And if you're not doing the right things, that's one thing. Then get some help. You know, get a business coach, join a flight group, do something proactive to make sure that you're doing the right things. But most of the time, it's the mindset and letting yourself get sucked into it. Okay, I just realized just jamming with Jamie's going way too long. So we're going to cut this off. So I just wanted to share that story in a way of helping you think about mindset and putting yourself back into the right place and not focusing on the problem, because the problem's out of your control most of the time. It's how you respond to it that matters. So I hope that helps and hope to see you next time for the next Just Jammin' with Jamie.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.